18th, 2019. We're here in Anchorage and ask Jessica Gary to call the roll, please.
Senator Coghill.
Here.
Senator Costello. Senate President Giesel.
Here.
Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator Stedman. Senator Von Imhoff.
Here.
Speaker Edgman. Representative Foster.
Here.
Representative Delana Johnson.
Here.
Representative Johnston.
Here.
Representative Kopp.
Here.
Representative Thompson. Vice Chair Stutes. Chair Stevens.
Hello. This is Representative Stutes.
Representative Seuss is here, and Senator Stevens is here. Okay, I think we have everyone. We have Thompson is on the way to from an airplane, and Stedman is going to call in, and Costello. We'll see if we hear from her. But so we have a quorum, right?
Yep, we have 11 members present.
11 members. All right, thank you so much. This Senator is a little.
Stevens.
Yes, hello.
This is Mia Costello. I'm online.
Well, thank you, Senator Costello. Thank you for being here.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please, Senator, go ahead.
This is Senator Stedman. I answered the roll, but I wasn't sure if they had me still on mute.
Oh.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. We've been trying to mute you for years, so thank you for being here, Senator Stedman. Okay, thanks, everyone. So this is a little discombobulated. We have folks that have not been able to make it in because of weather, so we're trying to do this meeting as expeditiously as we can. I'd ask Representative Stutes if you would make a motion then on the minutes.
I certainly will. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council approve the minutes dated September 19, 2019, as presented.
Yeah, thank you. Any corrections or additions to those minutes? If not, they are approved as read. Moving on to ratification of charity events. Again, Representative Stutes, for a motion, please.
Thank you. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council ratify the chair's sanctioning of the following charitable event per Alaska Statute 24.60.080A2B, Boys and Girls Club of Kenai Peninsula 32nd Annual Auction and Gala.
Thank you, Representative Stutes, and I'll object for purposes of discussion. We have sanctioned this event, and we have verified that it is a 501c3 organization. Any discussion on the motion for a charitable event? If there is no discussion, then I'll remove my objection, and the event has been ratified. Moving on to committee business, we have the sale of the ALOB satellite lot and K2 proposal. Again, Representative Stutes, actually, could I ask you, if you wouldn't mind, if we ask Representative Speaker of the House to make this motion? We've had a last-minute change. So, Representative Stutes, if you wouldn't mind, I'll ask.
Perfectly fine, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
I move that the Legislative Council approve the listing of Lot 4A Fout Subdivision, the sale of which will be executed by LAA through the DNR public auction or similar process. The starting bid of the appraised value of $485,000. I further move that the Legislative Council approve using the sales proceeds for the K2O camera proposal not to exceed $448,500 to be included in Legislative Council's FY21 capital budget request.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'll object for purposes of discussion. And Jessica, if you could give us a brief explanation of this matter.
Good morning. For the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director, Legislative Affairs Agency. So this, we brought up the sale of the lot to this committee before, and I think it was agreed upon that we would come up with the appraised value and then offer it through a process that would ultimately go to the highest bidder. This K2 camera proposal has been sort of in play for several years, trying to upgrade our cameras in the Capitol building and also improve access on gavel to gavel. And so K2 came to us with a proposal to sort of share resources and update our cameras, which already will need to be updated shortly. And so the Juno Community Foundation stepped in and offered to fund a portion of it. I've attached a copy of the proposal. It's pretty lengthy, but the state portion would be $448,500, which conveniently is just a little bit lower than the appraised price of our lot. So we can, what our thought was, would be to write something into the FY21 capital budget request to utilize the proceeds from the sale of the lot to pay for the state's portion of the camera project. And it's definitely a doable process. And I would be happy to answer any questions. We also have Wayne Jensen with Juno Community Foundation on the line, as well as Bill Legere with K2.
Thank you for those comments. To try to explain how we got here, you know, when we bought this building, the Wells Fargo building here in Anchorage for the LIO, it had an additional lot to it, and I'm sure you've seen it about a block and a half a block away. And we were under the impression that it was a requirement of the city that we have that extra parking lot because of the size of this building. But as it's been looked into, it was found out the city had no such requirement, and we don't really need that parking lot. So it's an opportunity to do sort of a two-step process here to sell the parking lot and do the camera operation that we need to do in Juneau. In any event, because the equipment we do have will have to be replaced in the next two or three years, as I understand it. Is that right?
That's correct.
What if we ask Wayne Jensen? Are you with us, Wayne?
Yes, I am.
Could you tell us, Wayne, about the Juno Community Foundation's involvement here and what you're willing to do?
Yes, my name is Wayne Jensen, representing the Juno Community Foundation. This is a project that we have been developing with Legislative Affairs TV over the last, as Jessica mentioned, over the last several years, as an effort to collaborate with between Gavel Alaska and Ledge TV to avoid duplication of effort and to improve the quality and the accessibility of Gavel Alaska throughout the state. And I think this is an opportunity to take advantage of that collaboration between Gavel Alaska and Ledge TV, as well as the cooperation that we've had, or collaboration between the Juno Community Foundation and the legislature, to improve and continue upgrading Gavel Alaska. Many of this includes replacing pieces of equipment that need to be replaced anyway, and it's an opportunity, I think, to preserve Gavel Alaska and to replace some of that outdated equipment with newer technology and to improve the product that is available throughout the state of Alaska.
Well, thank you, Mr. Jensen. We appreciate over the years all that the Juno Community Foundation has done in helping us in various issues. Thank you so much. Are there any questions of Mr. Jensen? Yes, please, Representative.
Yes, this is Representative Johnson, and I'm not sure if I'm having a Monday morning on a Wednesday here, but I was looking at just the breakdown of the cost and who was assuming what, and down at the total, you have the total for KPOO is $547,500, and for LIA, $448,500. But then you have for the control stations or the core infrastructure, it looks like you have a subtraction of a certain amount of a total of almost $300,000. I don't understand what that is.
Wayne, can you address that? Jessica.
I'd be happy to address that through the chair, Representative Johnston. The core infrastructure is what needs to go into the, basically into the walls to control the cameras. The robotic cameras are the actual cameras, and then the control station is what's physically located at K2. So we wanted the legislature's portion to only be equipment that we own within our building.
Okay, so ultimately it looks like the ask isn't for the $448,500. Is that right?
No, it's split between, it is $448,500 would be the state-funded portion. It's split between $56,500 in control stations and $392,000 in cameras.
Okay, so plus. Okay, now, so I'm going upwards instead of down. Okay, thank you. That was my concern.
Thank you, Representative Johnston. Let's go on to, I think we have Bill to share with us. Bill, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Bill, could you tell us what advantages this is, what improvements this would be? And I do understand that there would not be those heavy cameras in the way between us and the audience, and there would not be camera people there as well. Is that your plan?
Yes. For the record, Senator, it's Bill Legere. I'm the president and general manager at KTOO, and your comments are exactly right. This would allow us to eliminate the disruption in meeting rooms and in the House and the Senate of moving cameras in and out and having people staffing those cameras. That would mean more flexibility on our part. We wouldn't have the logistical problem of having to move from one room to another. And sometimes we get trapped in a room and can't leave to get to the next event, that sort of thing. Also have better coverage because there would be multiple cameras in each room. Right now, if you watch Gavel to Gavel, you know in House Finance, for example, half of the committee members, we only see the backs of their heads. And in the chambers, there are people who are seated behind pillars that we can't see on camera. And by having multiple cameras in each room, we have much better video coverage, and we could increase the amount of the number of meetings that we're able to cover logistically because we wouldn't have this problem of moving from room to room.
And you want to tell us that it does improve the audience or the viewers' participation, so the people who are watching will have a better opportunity to see what's going on. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. It would be more similar to the experience of actually being in the room, which is important for viewers across the state. We would also be able to incorporate your PowerPoint presentations into the video. If you watch Gavel now, you know that the best we can do with the PowerPoint is point the camera at the screen, and that's hard to read. This new technology would allow us to incorporate those PowerPoints directly into the video so that the home viewer or the viewer watching from someplace else in Alaska would be able to see those really well. So overall, the experience for citizens watching Gavel to Gavel would improve greatly.
Well, thank you, Bill. And the question was raised in talking to folks about this. Will there be a loss of jobs on the part of KTOO, or will those folks that do the camera work be just working out of your shop?
Sure. Some of them would come here to operate, to control the equipment remotely. The main thing that would benefit us is we would eliminate a lot of overtime. There's a lot of wait time that we have with our We have six people in the Capitol building, and they spend a lot of time waiting for meetings to start. And on many days, that gets us into an overtime situation. So it would help us to control our personnel costs a little bit, but it wouldn't be a much of a loss of jobs. Some of those people would come here to work in our control room. And we'd probably keep one crew in the Capitol for events that are in rooms that don't have cameras, for example, on the governor's floor or ad hoc news conferences in the hallway or in the speaker's chamber, for example, where there wouldn't be cameras.
Well, thank you, Bill. Any questions, comments? Yes, sir, Senator Cargill.
Of TVs in committee rooms right now that are pointed to the committee and then back to the people testifying, aka LD TV. Are those cameras going to remain? Is that something that we'll do, or are we going to replace those? Just explain to me where we're at on that.
Bill, I don't know if you understood the question, but the question is, will there be cameras in the room at all other than the...
We have cameras in the room now that we can get online and see the committee and the people testifying. That's outside of the K2 issue. And so are those cameras going to remain? Are they going to be changed out to be mechanical? Will they be combined with this system? I'm just trying to figure out.
Thank you, Jessica.
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, those cameras will be upgraded, and AK Ledge TV and K2 will share the same camera.
Thank you. Further questions, comments? Yes, sir.
Yes,
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question maybe a little bit off the beaten path, but Bill, you know, when I talk to people out in my district, it seems the viewership for Gavel to Gavel is going up, and I think a lot more people have been watching Gavel to Gavel, certainly utilizing it in the evenings or even throughout the day. But is there any way on your end, are you able to know what that viewership is? I'm guessing probably not, but are you able to put forth an educated guess?
Sure. Thanks for the question. We don't have ratings for the over-the-air TV service. The Nielsen company, which does TV ratings in Alaska, doesn't rate the channel that we're on. But we do have statistics from the people who watch the service online, and we know that it's been growing substantially year after year. And you brought us some of our best ratings ever this summer during the special session when we had so many online viewers that it momentarily exceeded all of our bandwidth. There was really high interest in the end of the last regular and extended special session and the special session. So we're just seeing more and more people using both the service online and over the air.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman. So with the additional features, assuming the council approves the request at hand, you know, the offer, you know, having more sort of hearings being televised at one time, that's not going to have any impact because what actually goes out will only be one feed to the general public. Is that correct?
We'll still have the single channel of television coverage, but we'll be able to cover more events and get them onto that channel, either live or on a delay basis, because we won't have the problem of moving from room to room. So, you know, I would expect that it would increase the number of meetings that we would carry in a broadcast day, either live or on a delayed basis. And it would also improve the quality of the streams that people see online of the meetings that we don't carry on the TV channel.
Great. And that might... I guess my last point would be I was going to ask about that as well, because sometimes, particularly, you know, when I watch it when I'm in Dillingham, there are times that I'm not down in Juneau with things going on. The picture does appear to be grainy at times. Some of the numbers are hard to decipher. And so it sounds like with this new technology that's going to make a dent in that as well.
Yes, certainly. The cameras will be high-definition cameras. Which will, you know, dramatically improve the quality of what you see both online and on the TV channel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you so much, Bill. Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So just an observation. It's good to see a community foundation kind of driving this partnership, basically making it possible for KTOO through Gavel Alaska to do a better job of what they've been doing. And so I'm kind of looking at this as this is a significant investment, the community and KTOO to provide a better statewide service, which they've been doing for decades. I recognize that. But my thought is so their input in this is $547,000, and the state money involved is $448,000. would there be a situation with us owning the camera system and the network in the building where we could have at some future point KTUU or KTVA or Fox saying, hey, we, you know, that's pretty cool. We got our camera people there too. Can we pay a fee? We recognize there's been a significant contribution of this foundation to help KTOO out. And, you know, can there be some type of an open network where we can also partner with the state and the infrastructure they own? I think it's just something we should have a fair discussion on, because I could see that, as you well point out, it certainly improves floor space. It's an advantage to us to have fewer cameras in the room. And and again, I want to say I really appreciate the long-standing decades of service of KTOO in Gavel, Alaska. So this is nothing against them at all. And they have earned this improvement by the fact that they are the only people who dedicatedly commit so much resource to this. So it's not to slight them at all. I'm just trying to think into the future.
Thank you, Representative Kopp. So, Bill, can you address that? Do you share video content at all with other outside stations?
Yes, Senator, absolutely. We make all of Gavel Alaska's content free to any broadcaster in Alaska, radio or TV. And, in fact, the Anchorage TV stations often use our video when they don't have a reporter and a camera crew in Juneau. And moreover, I think this system would allow, if the Anchorage stations wanted to get direct feeds from these meeting rooms, we could figure that piece out. Those are called pool feeds, where there's only one camera in a room, but all the broadcasters share it, so that you don't have to have, you know, every TV station have its own camera in the space. And we could certainly make that available to the to our commercial broadcast partners. We work really closely with the Anchorage TV news stations to share resources and to share video. They help us out, and we frequently help them out with video from Juneau.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate those comments. Well, it's amazing. I mean, when I go back home, walking through Safeway, people are telling me how often they watch Gavel to Gavel. It's just remarkable that Alaskans, unlike many states, can see what's going on at all times in the capital. Any further comments or questions? And I will remove my objection and ask for a roll call, please.
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Costello.
Yes.
Senate President Giesel.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Yes.
Speaker Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Johnson?
Delana Johnson.
Yep.
Representative Johnston.
Yes.
Representative Kopp.
Yes.
Representative Thompson. Vice Chair Stutes.
Yes.
Chair Stevens.
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to the next item, which is the Legislative Council moving and travel change on a stipend. Representative Stutes, for a motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that Legislative Council adopt the proposed changes to the Legislative Council moving and travel policy and establish a session housing stipend for eligible staff members not to exceed $30 a day.
Thank you. I'll object for purposes of discussion and ask if you would explain what's going on here.
Absolutely. Again, for the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director. So we were contacted by Senator Giesel's office at the beginning of this last session because staff had started to file their taxes from the year before and were dismayed to find out they no longer were able to deduct their housing costs on their personal tax returns. And being that staff do not receive per diem for the time they are in Juneau, there was the appetite to come up with a way that staff could receive not necessarily a per diem or anything of that nature, but basically just help them with their housing costs. So so we contacted our accounting firm, LG Rayfield, and asked them to look into the taxable consequences for staff receiving a housing stipend. And we presented this at the, I believe it was the August meeting, and Senator Von Imhoff had asked us to look into how other states deal with this issue, and also to look into what the other branches of government do. So we reached out to NCSL and quickly found out there's no other state like Alaska, so there was no way to really compare it. As far as the other branches of government, staff receive a $30 per day stipend for long-term housing, or they call it a per diem. But so anyway, and looking at some of the different options, we looked at, you know, doing a monthly rate. Ultimately, we decided it was less administratively burdensome to do a daily rate, because each month has a different length. We never know how long session is going to go. And a daily rate would be something staff could easily fill out a form, turn it into the accounting office, and payment could be processed. So so that's kind of where we're at right now. My recommendation, as I mentioned, was $30 per day, just to sort of keep in line what other state travelers receive. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Jessica. And maybe first I'd recognize Senator Giesel, since this was sort of her baby, and she's been very interested in addressing this problem. Any comments, Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, our staff are critical to the function of the legislature, and it is a significant cost for them to move to, you know, for a second duty station, so to speak, from their homes, just as it's a challenge for us as well. But for them to lose that tax deduction ability through the federal change in the law, it has a significant impact. And I just want to make sure that we are being attentive to that, so that we can retain the institutional knowledge that we have in some wonderful staff folks, and make it affordable for them to actually come and work for the legislature. So that was the motivation for this. Jessica has taken the concept and vastly improved it, and so I absolutely support her recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, President Giesel. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support this concept, but I have a staff in Juneau, and I know over the years we've had sessions here in Anchorage, and I'm wondering, since you state that, that in this policy that the staff would have to travel to Juneau, what happens to the in the scenario when we have sessions here in Anchorage, whether they be special or otherwise, where staff from Juneau would have to travel to Anchorage, they would not have the same privilege under the language as I read it.
That's a very good question. Jessica, comment on that?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, currently this problem only exists with the regular sessions, which are the only ones that are held in Juneau. For special sessions, which are the ones we've held outside of the Capitol, staff do receive per diem if they travel outside of their home. So so it isn't an issue for Juneau-based staff who would have to travel to Anchorage. They would already be eligible to receive per diem.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Coco.
So this would be an addition to their taxable income, is the way I understand it, true?
Senator Caulfield, through the chair, that is my understanding, that their income would not be decreased.
All right.
Thank you. Any further discussion or comments? Yes, Senator Giesel.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just wondering if Jessica could talk about the document that she has put before us. It is the Legislative Council Moving and Travel Policy, and I'm looking at what I think is page 2. They're not numbered. It's actually page 3. Okay, it's the third page I think it's the second page of the policy itself. Anyway, it's the third paragraph. There's red wording, okay? And as I read the paragraph, it starts out referring to legislative staff members based in the Capitol. And then it goes on to talk about the stipend. Is this, I'm unclear, is this referring to staff members that have relocated to the Capitol during the regular legislative session, or staff members who live in the Capitol?
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, it's staff members that are that relocate to the Capitol, and that's why it's based on whether they're eligible for staff relocation. I can understand the way that the language is written. I definitely can understand where you're coming from on that. The language is a little unclear, but the way it's interpreted is that it's staff that travel to the Capitol during a regular legislative session are not entitled to a daily per diem allowance. And then we just added the, however, they may receive a lodging stipend.
Senator Giesel.
And so could we amend the wording then so it is blatantly clear? As Jessica just articulated, legislative staff members who travel, I guess I would put who travel and relocate to the Capitol during regular legislative session are not entitled to daily.
Thank you, Senator Giesel. Is that any difficulty in just changing that? Does that make it clearer to you, Jessica, in interpreting?
So, Mr. Chairman, there, because our policies are written a way that sort of one paragraph leads to the other, that is the legislative staff section. It is speaking specifically about staff relocation. I would want to, I don't, off the top of my head, don't see an issue with that, but I would like to sort of just make sure that that doesn't affect any of the other language in the policy. And I think we could just, I think that could just be a sort of a technical and conforming change because we know what the intent is if this motion passes. Do you agree, Megan?
Maybe we should ask Megan to come up and clarify this.
For the record, Megan Wallace, Director of Legal Services. It would be my opinion that if we amended the motion before the committee just slightly to give the agency technical and conforming powers to edit the language in the travel policy to conform to the intent of this committee and the motion that you adopt for the $30 a day lodging stipend, my office can work with Jessica to make sure that the language is consistent throughout and then also conforms with your intent. And
okay.
Clear and articulate as to what you're trying to accomplish.
Senator Giesel, are you comfortable with that?
I think that sounds great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So if you would then make that motion to amend, do you need to have some specific help on what it says?
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend the motion to read, I move that the Legislative Council adopt the proposed changes to the Legislative Council moving and travel policy. Further, the staff be empowered to make technical and conforming changes to provide clarity.
Okay, thank you. Any objection to that amendment? If not, then the motion has been amended, and thank you, Megan, for coming forward. Any further comments? Yes, sir. Representative Cobb.
Chairman, so you know this. I see this as it certainly can be viewed as a staff-friendly amendment to offset their cost, which I fully support just on that basis alone. But I think as far as the legislative institution, that $900 a month is often the difference of getting an employee to yes, a good employee to come with you to Juneau. to help offset, you know, housing, which is not insignificant. I mean, it's significant for all of us. And I'm very excited to support this because I think it's long overdue to help our employees. It will help us attract and retain, I think, a higher degree of employee who would come if they had some housing support. The other thing is, I think it also sends a good message to the Juneau economic community. They're going to benefit from this too, as far as having more people be able to afford more and better housing. Hopefully we will not see the rates go up. We'll say that, but I think that this is a good thing for our capital city, and I hope they recognize that as such.
Thank you, Senator Coghill.
The tax policy that was driving this, so I've struggled with this. I think the staff ranges have been pretty good, and staff pay is pretty good. But I do understand the tax ramifications. We moved some years ago to include the travel policy in getting them to and from the Capitol. That was a significant move as well. So we have worked hard at trying to make sure that it is staff friendly for people who are coming and going. The concern I have is that we're getting to the place where I think it might be a little too high. Because of the tax issue, I'm going to support this. The moving in and out of Juneau is tough. There's no doubt about it. I don't know what the economy looks like there. But here's one of the things I think we could push the economy also to up their rates. So, I mean, it's something that we just got to watch. And I think our staff is paid fairly well. For what value we get from them from outside of the session times, I think is very, very good. And so this move is costly. But I was willing to have them bear the cost until this tax question came up. And so that caused me some consternation. So this is probably a reasonable compromise. I'll support it. But I just wanted you to know that I think we've accommodated pretty significantly today.
Thank you, Senator Coghill. Good cautionary comments. Further discussion, Senator Johnson.
I think I'll go as Representative Johnston.
Representative Johnson, thank you.
I just...
It's not a promotion, believe me.
No. Anyways, I'm going to have to channel my friend, the past Senator Chris Birch, because he started talking about this when he was a representative with Representative Kopp and I in the House, and we were all minority members. And as well, I do agree, and it does always pain me to increase anything. the thing that Senator Birch felt, I think he felt the issue was more exaggerated when you were in the minority and the minority staff. And even when he was not in the minority anymore, he felt it was very important to all staff. And I think that's where we're really looking at this, is for some of the lower level staff.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. For the comments, Senator Hoffman.
So to get an understanding of the fiscal note, if there were one, we have, it says 110, north of 110 staff times 30 days a month times $30. So on a monthly basis, we are looking at somewhere around $100,000 a month. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I actually put together some figures, and I approximated 120 staff who relocate. That's sort of been the maximum that we've had. I wanted to sort of see what the worst case scenario would be. So for 120 staff, 121 days of session, $30 per day, it would be $435,600. Total cost per staff would be $3,630.
421 days, how much is that again?
$435,600.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Further questions, comments?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, please.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stutz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Representative Stutz, and I respectfully ask to be excused. I need to catch a plane. And if I have an opportunity to vote on this, I'd like to vote yes.
Thank you very much, Representative Stutz. Look forward to getting back in Alaska, and thanks for being with us.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Any further comments or questions? If not, I'll remove my objection and ask for a roll call.
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Costello.
Yes.
Senate President Giesel.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Yes.
Speaker Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Delana Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Johnston.
Yes.
Representative Kopp.
Yes.
Representative Thompson. Vice Chair Stutz, if you're still on. And Chair Stevens.
Yes.
All right. So we have 12 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. We'll take a brief at ease. I want to make sure that